because capitalism is both the main problem and it's something that's going to continue to exist whether we're in the EU or out of it.
That's right.
So our question isn't which of these things is going to solve all our problems. Neither of them will. You know, what you're saying is absolutely right, that if we left the EU, or if we hadn't been in it in the first place, we'd still have governments trying to pass austerity. That's absolutely true. You know, the there's a lot of things that I think we shouldn't counterpose. You know, the EU is doing terrible things to refugees. The Tories are part of that. The Tories put up a lot of the money in political demands, saying as part of the EU, we want to do terrible things to refugees. Those fights will still have to go on, whether we're in it or out of it. So the question we have to ask isn't what's the you know, perfect world, it's the what strengthens our side and weakens theirs, and vice versa. And I think once we look at things through that frame, it becomes clearer. And for example, when people say we have to work with the left in Europe, we absolutely do. You know, the left has to work internationally, the workers' movement does, and we do that. When people say we'll be less able to do that when we're not in the EU, I think the huge problem that immediately arises is then, what do you do with people who are in countries that are not in the EU? You know, is it the case that we don't stand with trade unionists and socialists in Egypt who are fighting state repression? You know, in South Africa who were fighting the mine strike? In Turkey, where at the moment everyone's lining up to say Turkey will never be allowed in the EU? I'm not going to insult anyone here by saying anyone doesn't want to stand with those people. Of course we do. Of course we do. And so we'll stand with, you know, trade unionists in all European countries as well without the EU. Question is then, are they strengthened and are we strengthened by having the EU or not? And, you know, Yiannis Varoufakis, he's relatively honest when you push the question. He doesn't actually have any idea how the EU could be reformed. And he doesn't believe it's going to happen. He thinks everything else is, you know, he thinks it's the right thing to try and do, but he's not promising it's likely. And I think actually, when we look at what might happen to a Podemos government in Spain, Varoufakis and Syriza is a big warning. Syriza went in saying, we'll change the EU. The EU changed Syriza.
Mm, yeah.
And I think, you know, Podemos, they are taking a pro-EU position. I think as soon as they start trying to pass any laws that challenge austerity and neoliberalism, they'll be confronted by the same blackmail as Syriza was, and they will have to choose. And it's interesting with TTIP, it's come up in the question of trade deals. Both wouldn't leaving the EU mean we'd definitely have it, and wouldn't leaving the EU mean we'd lose trade deals. I mean, in truth, it's impossible to say entirely, and both campaigns have used it. Barack Obama came over to say, Britain, you'll be at the back of the queue for TTIP if you're not in Europe.
Right.
I do think we should be careful in saying that we need trade deals because that creates jobs and we fight for jobs, because that's a logic that the bosses use for a lot of things, saying this will create jobs, therefore you need it. And what they always mean is this will create profits. And, you know, defending jobs is about fighting back. It's about strikes, it's about occupations, and there's all kinds of measures that they'll say will boost profits. You know, with fracking, with nuclear power, this is what we're always hearing. And I don't think we can get onto those terrain. What's the best, most powerful thing of the Remain case? I mean, I think since several people have raised it, it's clear. It's a question of what happens to EU migrants who are already in Britain. And I think what you have to say is, let's be honest, we know that immigration is under attack. And, you know, what you're saying about multiculturalism, of course, we celebrate the right to free movement, we celebrate diversity, we're anti-racists, you know, capital moves around the world. Shouldn't people be able to move around the world? Of course, we stand with that. And the most important response to those attacks is to actually do anti-racist campaigning, and you know, in or out of the referendum. The question is, to what extent does the referendum shape that? And okay, I do think the day after, if there's a Leave vote, Nigel Farage will have a smile on his face, and that's bad. But let's be honest, if it's not, what's been the tone of the Leave campaign? Sorry, of the Remain campaign? It's, we promise we won't let the Turks join. You know, it's that we hear what you're saying, that you don't like the immigrants, and this definitely isn't about immigration. And if they win on that basis, you know, I think you can quite easily see it, them saying, well, you've vindicated us keeping the refugees out of Greece. We've vindicated was going and negotiating over these things. By the way, the fact that the EU said it was willing to lock Greece out of internal EU travel rights if Greece didn't clamp down on refugees, that tells you that even EU migrants aren't safe from this EU clampdown, from this migration clampdown. And so the question isn't, will there be an attack on immigrants' rights, including EU migrants? There will, and we're already fighting it. Backing the EU is not a substitute for that fight. They're entirely willing to negotiate the free movement of people within Europe, and you know, the things the EU is doing to refugees at the Mediterranean, that only legitimises it. You know, if we can't take Syrians, why should we take anyone else? It legitimises that. And therefore, I think if we're going to defend immigration, we have to do it through working class solidarity. That's very different than through backing David Cameron and Fortress Europe, which is you know, the other problem. Because it's true that the tone of the campaign on both sides, and probably more so the Leave side, has been very, very racist. I think the left has some responsibility for that, to be honest, because a lot of the left has said, we'd have lots of criticisms we'd like to say about the EU, but we can't say them because then we'll be near Nigel Farage. And that means that the only criticisms that get raised are the racist ones. I think if Jeremy Corbyn and Caroline Lucas were on the TV saying, yeah, I'm for immigration, but I'm against the EU because it attacks workers. Yeah, I'm for immigration, but I'm against the EU because it drowns refugees. Then we'd have a very, very different campaign. And I think it's, to end, I think one of the most important things is what Paul said. That, you know, people are being told by their bosses, by the Tories who've been cutting for 5 years, you know, by everyone who's been in charge through all the terrible things that have been happening, that you must stay in the EU. Now, some people may react differently to that blackmail, but I think if the left's argument is that the only way to stop something even worse happening is to do what the boss says and to do what the Tory Prime Minister says, we don't boost the chances of working class struggle, and we don't isolate the racists. We actually make things harder for ourselves that way. So I think it's precisely important to say there is an anti-racism that the EU isn't up to the task of doing, and that if you want to vote against your boss, you're right, because our alternative is very different to the boss's one.
Thank you, Nate. He's got to rush off to get a train, so thank you very much anyway. Cheers, Nate. Right, so... So we've got time for a few brief reports back. I'm sorry, they all have to be so brief. So first up is report back Robin and Nicola, please.
Yes, well, we went over there to stand up against the Perdiga people that came. There were about 150 of them. But there were about 150 anti-racist demonstrators, Muslim, Asian and otherwise, non-Asian. There were lots of good speakers, and there was a debate about whether we should all turn our backs on the procession as they went past, or whether we should chant anti-racist slogans. So some did one, some did the other, and some did both. Anyway, I had an interesting discussion, ladies, with one Muslim lady about wearing the veil, and she said it made her laugh that people thought that they were oppressed by their men, and she said, as far as I can